Welcome, everybody. It's 30 Years of Nonsense.
Good afternoon. It is Terry and Sherry.
Yeah, that's great. We're both back together today.
We are both today, which is great. We do miss Kieran, but he's off on a road trip again.
Yeah, he's gone to Nashville to visit his sister and all their friends.
It is Stag, or I guess Buck and Doe weekend.
Yeah.
Whatever they call them these days.
Jack and Joe, Buck and Doe, whatever it is. It's going to be a good time. They've rented an Airbnb and they're off to Nashville.
Yeah, so boys one night, girls another night, apparently in different places, but we are all certain they're going to end up. Our son is predicting that within 45 minutes of being apart, the couple will be like, I miss my partner.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're going to end up together by the end of the night. Yes.
Right,
it sounds very fun. And I wish I was there, but that's not appropriate.
No, not at all.
No one wants their mother or their father at their stag or doe.
Absolutely not. But I'm happy for them. That's a good road trip for them. So you guys last week started off talking about my kind of childhood influences in forest music.
You said that Ozzy Osbourne was a significant influence on your childhood development, and we we had a problem with that, and so we explored that a little bit, and then we decided that we would share our musical influences as we were growing up, both Kieran and I. So today Terry would like to actually chime in and share with us his musical influences on his development, music and otherwise, because music is a huge part of people's community and their growth and all sorts of good things. So you do want to talk about Ozzy Osbourne.
I do, and let me explain why. So my sister is a couple of years older, and she was into rock music and that, so she actually got me introduced into rock music when I was younger.
Your sister was into Ozzy Osbourne?
No, my sister was into like Led Zeppelin and Rush and all those bands, but you know, when you're hanging around your sister's friends, they start talking about all these different bands, and Black Sabbath and Ozzy came up, and I was like, oh, let's listen to that. So I listened to that, and I thought, man, these guys are incredible. And then, believe it or not, I know it hasn't opened yet for the season, but I went to the exhibition, CNE, with my mom and my dad and my sister, and there was a game there, and I remember it still because my mom won me two mirrors of Ozzy Osbourne.
I remember those rock and roll mirrors.
Yeah, so they were rock and roll mirrors, and you had to throw darts at them. Little did they know, my mom was a darts expert.
Okay.
And my mom could play darts amazing. So she got the darts off the people, and she was like, these aren't weighted correctly, but we'll do it. And she threw two darts, and both of them burst balloons. And you had to burst a balloon and stick it into a star, and she did it both times. So I got the, I believe it was Diary of a Madman and or Blizzard of Oz. I can't remember if it was that or I got an Iron Maiden one at the same time, but I had multiple of these rock and roll mirrors in my room when I was growing up.
You also, I bet, had those black and white concert shirts.
I had tons of those. I
should have kept them. The AC/DC one and things like that.
Yeah.
Are you sure they're not in our garage? There's a lot of things in our garage.
They're not. I've looked high and low. And I mean, I had Ozzy. I had Rush. I had so many. I even had Def Leppard one that was had a Union Jack on it. And it had sleeveless. It was like their drummer. So it's crazy the amount of different concert shirts I had and I'd gotten. I had these two U2 t-shirts from the Joshua Tree, and I remember I washed them with a red sweater or t-shirt, and they went from white to this funny pink, and I didn't care. I still wore them.
I'm sure you did. You were also confident enough to rock pink.
Oh, yeah.
I picture you in pink when I met you, actually.
Yeah, I was in pink.
You were very preppy.
Yeah, so, I mean, but Ozzy was a huge part of that whole kind of generation for me, and I mean, he had so many great songs and great stuff. I was listening to it this morning as I was prepping for this, and I was like, which song do I play? It took me so long to decide what I was going to play, and then I was like, you know what, I was thinking of Much Music's Power Hour. I don't know if you remember that,
remember,
right?
Yes.
4 o'clock on Thursdays, and I would listen to that. I don't think it was on every day, or if it was, I didn't watch it every day, but I watched the Power Hour for Much Music, and I remember the Ozzy Osbourne Bark at the Moon video. So it was him, and then he would go out into the moonlight, and then he turned into a werewolf, and then he would be running around. And it's just, when I play the song, it might bring back that memory for you. Probably won't.
Probably not. I was never really an Ozzy fan.
But for me, it was like, as soon as I pressed play on it this morning, I was like, I got to play this song.
All right. The one we're playing?
It is. So
all right,
do we want to talk a little Ozzy?
Do you want to talk about Rest in Peace Ozzy or some Ozzy fun facts?
Let's talk about a little fun facts, right? His real name was John Michael Osborne, born December 3rd, 48. He was from Birmingham, England. And that was where his last concert was as well. So he rose to fame, actually, as the lead singer of Black Sabbath, creating. And what people would say is he was the godfather of rock and roll. Like, he was the godfather of heavy metal. Every band that I've ever known attributes their musical taste and stylings to Ozzy and Black Sabbath.
So for me, I would categorize that not necessarily as rock and roll. Like, I would think the father of rock and roll would be somebody like Elvis. And I see this as the next evolution into kind of like heavy, heavy metal.
Sure. Well, we'll call it heavy metal. It's okay. Fine. It's rock. Rock music, but heavy rock. And then it's so funny because they were talking about this bat incident, right? Like the whole, you know, he bit the head off of a bat at a concert. Yes, he did. But what had happened is the whole incident happened, and it was like in Des Moines, Iowa. He was playing a show and somebody threw up a bat on stage. And I remember this vividly because it became such headline news. He picks up the bat and he grabs it and he puts it in his mouth and he bites the head off of it and spits it out. And he realizes it's a real bat. He thought it was a rubber bat.
Oh, boy.
No, he never thought it was a real bat to begin with.
Okay.
So, and then after that, he had to get rabies shots.
Sure, he did.
A whole battery of them. And then there was another incident. Now, this one, he knew what he was doing. So he was meeting, it was him and Sharon Osbourne, and they were meeting with CBS Music or CBS Studios at the time. And he grabs a dove. They were there doing something, and he grabs a dove that was being released. I have no idea why there was doves being released in this meeting. Anyway, he grabs
Maybe Prince
it.
Was next.
Who knows? Anyway, he grabs it and he bites the head off a dove.
For real.
For real. But he knew what he was doing that time. And it was like for dramatic effect.
Right.
And it did work. They didn't sign with CBS Music and he went on to have a great career elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, he had his MTV show, The Osbournes. I don't know if you remember that with the wife and the kids.
That was like one of the original reality TV shows.
Yeah, it was in 2002 to 2005. It's, believe it or not, I was watching some stuff and it just kept popping up on my feed constantly.
That's 'cause you looked.
Well, no, I hadn't even looked at it. It just is popping up. Like everybody's going back to look at
that show. Died.
Because he died, right? Mm-hmm. And then
What got him eventually? What did he die of? Do we know?
Well, he had Parkinson's. He had had it for years. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because he was actually genetically studied in 2010. Scientists mapped Ozzy's genome to figure out how he had survived decades of drug and alcohol abuse. And they actually found that he had a unique genetic variation in his body that had the ability to metabolize all of these substances. So he was literally like just this one-off kind of creature that didn't matter what kind of drugs he took or whatever he did.
Yeah, he lived hard.
He lived literally that you know, going hard in the paint. Mm-hmm. He was the actual hard in the paint guy.
Right. And was he 76, I think, when he died last week?
Yeah, it was sad.
Not,
I mean, they
too
just
old.
No,
but
it's not.
When you live that hard.
Yeah, and I mean, they had his funeral, or his actual funeral was yesterday.
Okay.
In Birmingham, and there was lots of people out, and he had his carriage and the whole thing. It was pretty wild to actually see. I mean, he's known, actually it's funny here that, you know, you pulled up some of these facts. He's known for his solo albums Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman were his two biggest albums. I mean, Crazy Train, Mr. Crowley, No More Tears, Over the Mountain. There's so many great songs that he put out. Him and Sharon, they actually pioneered Ozfest. I don't know if you remember that. It was like it was kind of like Coachella in the 90s for just heavy metal bands. And it started in 96 and it went on for years and years. And they had all sorts of different heavy metal bands that went around. And it was pretty cool. It was like just, you know, they would have one here in Toronto and then there'd be one in Chicago. It was just like a music festival, but it was only heavy metal bands that were in it. And then you speak about Sharon Osbourne himself, like Sharon, his wife.
Isn't she on The View now?
I don't know if she's on it.
has been. I don't know if she currently is. But,
but he wasn't originally married to her. He met her in the 70s. So Black Sabbath kicked him out of the band.
Okay.
In the probably about 79. They were having troubles. He wasn't showing up. He was partying hard then, too. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't showing up for concerts. If he did show up, he'd be stoned or drunk or just belligerent. He couldn't perform or whatever. So they kicked him out. And his manager, his name was Don Arden. And Sharon Osbourne's maiden name is Arden.
Oh, interesting.
It was his daughter. She was the office manager.
Oh, interesting.
And he was married to somebody else at the time, and they started off more of as a business relationship more than anything. And then in 1982, he had already since left his wife. Things had changed. He was doing a single thing, and they got together, and they've had three kids, right? So they've got Amy, Kelly, and Jack.
Yeah.
The three kids together. Cool. One more little thing, and then we'll throw it on.
I actually do have one thing to say about them positive, so you go ahead, sure. And then I'll say my thing.
So she actually is one of the best music band managers in the world. Mm-hmm. So she manages, like, Coldplay and some other really big names. I know the Coldplay thing, but she
we're
does.
Not going to talk about Coldplay. No. It's been overspoken about.
Yeah, but she does. She manages some really great bands as well.
Right. Well, the one thing that I would say is, although I'm not a fan of the style of music, I do have absolute respect for their business savvy and their staying power. So clearly she is a very, very successful and smart manager, and they evolved enough to stay relevant. Yep. Through his entire lifetime and his entire career, and continue to reinvent themselves with different things, like you were talking about, like the Coachella style shows.
Yeah, Ozfest.
He survived being in and out of a number of different bands. They had before reality TV was even a thing, they were one of the initiators. So they did stay ahead of the curve, and they're absolutely brilliant business people. Just not my style of music, but I'm willing to listen to this one with you.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think. The last time I saw him was about 2010, 2011. I was about to say at the exhibition. It wasn't. It was at the Rogers Center, and he literally staggered out onto stage, grabbed the microphone stand, and stood there for 2 hours and just belted it out.
Oh, like, good for him if he could do it.
Nobody's business. And then he kind of just shuffled off. It was incredible to watch him perform. You know, at 66, but he was basically, his body was destroyed.
Right.
But he could still play, which was amazing. Yeah. So let's do Bark at the Moon. Again, this, I couldn't decide, guys, so I hope you guys enjoy this one. It for me, it's one of my all-time favorites from my childhood. Here we go. All right, that was incredible.
You were jamming out.
I was, and it's amazing. So we're going to come back one day, and we're going to talk about some of the best guitar players in the world. That guitar there was famously done by a guitar player named Randy Rhoads, who unfortunately died way too young, and in my opinion, was one of the best guitar players in the world. You know, you've got Eddie Van Halen, and you've got all the different guys, Geddy Lee. But some of the guitar players, you've got The Edge from U2, all have such unique styles. We're not going to talk about any more about Ozzy right now. We'll come back another day, and we will literally talk just about guitar players.
Okay, I'm going to rely on you for that one, though, because I am definitely not the guitar player expert.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, and then there's some great drummers. You've got Dave Grohl. There's so many great artists we could just jam on. So let's talk about
what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about what we're talking about.
Well, let's talk about your next one. I found this really unique that you picked this song, and I love it, actually. I think it's wonderful.
Well, I think it's funny, and for our listeners, we actually often pick our music separately. So obviously we have a shared playlist, but we aren't always together, and we kind of pick a topic and say, okay, let you pick four songs on this and I'll pick four songs on that, and we put them together. And I guess I had done it before you.
Yeah.
So when you pulled up the playlist, you're like, what? It was like last week when you were listening and you said, are you kidding me? You're going to play the Bay City Rollers.
Yeah, absolutely. I was literally typing in a group chat going, we're what? We're playing Bay City Rollers? All right.
Because you were listening to Kieran and I on a replay on your way home from Toronto.
Yeah.
And you had no idea. You hadn't even seen the music.
I hadn't seen it. And I don't look at it intentionally because I want to be as mesmerized as a listener as I am as a participant.
So listening back last week, did you have any suggestions for improvement for us?
Well, yeah, the pressing pause between songs. But other than that, like it's just the little things. So you do your part and I do mine, and when we're not here together, those sometimes just get missed, and that's fine. It's just, you know, we both have our strengths and our weaknesses. Yeah. But yeah, no, other than that, it was great. I love the banter that Kieran brings to the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's great.
He brings a unique rhythm to it for
Maybe
sure.
Maybe over Christmas we'll have the opportunity to have some ad.
That would be cool.
She's gonna be
all
home
four of us
for her wedding. And so we should have at least one episode where we have Smat on.
Well, I think we should have all four. I think it would be a lot of fun
The Family Business. We used to have a podcast called The Family Business. That was really fun, too.
Yeah, it was. Okay.
All right, back down memory lane. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took the exercise. We were talking again about music that influenced us growing up. And this time I said, okay, think about a song from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and kind of how I've evolved. So I was first back in the 70s, and really all I could think about, again, I mentioned this last week, was listening to records in my parents' basement with my sister, who was 5 years older than me, and I vividly remember listening to the song Afternoon Delight.
Which is crazy, because I never listened to this song until Semi Pro came out. Now, I'd heard the song, but it was never in my playlist. It wasn't in my repertoire. I'd heard it.
Right.
And I'd heard it when people asked me to play it at weddings, but it wasn't played that much. But as soon as Semi Pro came out, and Will Ferrell, and
that's
movie,
mentioned as something that came in
it?
A second life,
oh,
actually.
Yeah, yeah. Did it ever?
So it's interesting because this song won the Best New Artist in 1977 in the Grammy Awards, which
that's
makes
crazy.
Perfect sense because in 77, I would have been 9, which meant that I would have been sitting in my parents' basement listening to records on an LP, actually,
yep,
where you had to drop the needle and sometimes put a penny on it to make sure it stayed down, because if you jumped up and down, the floor would shake.
So it's funny, when I was DJing in a lot of clubs in Toronto, I actually taped pennies to the top of the head of my needle. Mm-hmm. I would wear records out way quicker, but that was fine. We weren't paying for records at the time. The record companies were giving us records to play. So you would just go back and say, hey, listen. And it was a good thing. They liked that.
Oh, if you wore it out, you bought another one.
Well, you meant you were playing it.
Right.
Right? So, and it also stopped it from scratching across. It was one of the early things I actually learned from a friend of mine named Graham that was somebody I looked up to as a DJ. Graham went on to run a massive sound
online
great company.
Things, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, that was one of the first things he ever taught me was drop a penny.
Right. Okay. So back to Afternoon Delight.
Yeah.
So it was sung by the Starland Vocal Band, and they beat the band Boston for Best New Artist in 1977.
Which is crazy.
Given that they were only a one-hit wonder, a lot of people thought that was controversial and would like a recount on whether or not Boston had staying power or the Starland Vocal Band had staying power. I didn't know as a child of 9 years old what Afternoon Delight really meant.
No.
But it means what you think it means.
Yeah.
It means somebody's getting some loving in the afternoon.
Yeah, and it's funny because you talk about, and I'm not going to talk about the Afternoon Delight part, but you talk about Boston
<don't.
laughs> and you talk about Afternoon, you know, that the band, Starland Vocal Band, it was more about the song than about their staying power at that time. They were just new, and that song was huge.
Well, also, it was a more innocent time when we weren't quite so overt about things like sex.
Yeah.
And it was a way to say it, but still get played on the airwaves.
Yeah.
And interesting, the fun fact that I will share, and then we will go ahead and play it because we have lots of music for today, is that it was actually named after dessert. So somebody saw it on a menu item, and it was Afternoon Delight, and said, that seems like a clean way to say let's have some lovin' in the afternoon. And so they named it Afternoon Delight, and it became, honestly, like, it's an iconic song now, but they are truly, it was their only song, so they are definitely in the one-hit wonder category.
Absolutely, and that restaurant was Clyde's Restaurant in Washington, D.C.
All right, well, thank you for that. So
yeah.
Let's go ahead and play it, and during the song, we will not have some Afternoon Delight.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway.
the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Hi! Follow the yellow brick road each week on Sundays from 8 to 9 p.m. and I've got a show for you. Tune in to get your weekly fix of British music, culture, and lots of fun. I'll see you there. Ta-ra!
In my Mersey paradise.
That's one of my other favorite shows on this station, actually, with Rue. She's great.
I think she left, though. Maybe that's an old commercial because she graduated,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, she did. That was a great...
I think they need to delete that commercial.
Well, we need to stop playing it, that's for sure.
I just picked it, sorry.
No, that's on us. All right, so let's talk a few more minutes about these guys. They had a variety show. I didn't know this.
Yes.
And who was one of the writers on it?
A young David Letterman.
Yeah, which is crazy. So in 1977, they had a... They had a variety show. That's so funny.
But notice it only says 77.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere.
It doesn't go anywhere. So I don't think it's not like it was one of those shows. It was like Saturday Night Live. It's been on for 50 years.
Yeah. So that song, which is funny because it was in The Anchorman in 2004. It was also in Arrested Development, Glee, The Simpsons, Family Guy, and Semi-Pro.
Yeah.
So
Will Ferrell likes it.
Yeah, Will Ferrell does because he's got two shows from that was in it. So pretty wild. So this is, you know, we're getting halfway through the show and I'm going to talk about...
You could do the rest of the show about this next band.
I'm not going to let him. So my favorite band of all times, and everybody knows who it is, it's U2. They were... and will be always essential. I mean, we went and saw them. We were in Vegas. We saw the U2 experience.
At the Sphere. It was so cool. If anybody goes to Las Vegas, go to the Sphere for an experience. But don't go to the 11:30 p.m. show because at home, that is actually 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but you don't get
it. I stayed awake, though. So
it was so incredible.
It was worth it.
It was worth every second. And actually, we were talking about, I was at a function yesterday in Western Ontario, and we were talking about the Sphere, and somebody said, have you been? And I said, yeah, I was actually there. I saw U2 there. And they were like, how were they? And I go, well, I didn't see U2, but I saw the U2 experience. And I said, I don't know if U2 was as good as the experience, but the experience was incredible. It was just so, you couldn't tell the difference.
I thought they were there.
Yeah, it just was incredible. The whole theatrics and the whole visual, everything, and the way they record it and then present it on the screens makes you feel like you're in the concert yourself.
Yeah, it was a fantastic.
And you bought you could buy U2 merch like as if you were at a concert. So it was wild. I bought some U2 merch.
Of course, there was an opportunity for them to make more revenue,
which is crazy.
That thing must have been expensive. Oh, so yeah. Yes.
So they're building seven more of them. There's meant to be eight, right? They were talking about. Yeah. So anyway, the U2 originally wasn't even going to be called U2. They were going to be called The Hype. But the name U2 apparently stuck because it was kind of ambiguous. They were kind of techies, and Bono really liked the idea of it because they were kind of political as well at the beginning. Not so. I guess they're not so much political now. Maybe they are.
I think they are. I think they're huge environmentalists.
Well, environmentalists, but not political, in my opinion.
That's a political topic.
I mean, U2 was the spy plane, right? So... the U2 spy plane back in the day, and they loved that kind of synergy vibe of it, so that's why they picked the name.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
They literally all met in school, so all four guys, which is amazing. So this is something that you never hear of. So all four members, Bono, The Edge, Larry Mullen Jr., and Adam Clayton, met as teenagers in Mount Temple Comprehensive School in Dublin. Larry had posted a school note on the bulletin board saying he was looking for band members, and the rest is history.
That's
they
amazing.
Have been together since 1976.
Just imagine a dorky high school kid being like, I'm going to put this on a cork board and probably get beaten up for it, and so then they become U2.
If you remember the movie The Commitments, about the same kind of thing. It was the fake band The Commitments from Dublin. They did the same kind of thing. They posted a thing in a local paper about having a band come together, and all sorts of different people tried out. But literally, this band has been together from day one. They've never had a band member change, like leave. I mean, their drummer, unfortunately, has been a little sick, so somebody's been filling in for him, but he's not yet considered a member of the band. He's a fill-in member for him until he gets
back.
How long
has he been filling in for?
He was filled in for a couple of shows in Vegas.
Oh, okay. So not like it's been years.
Oh, no, no, no. We're talking like, yeah, I think he missed five or six shows.
Okay. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. He
That's
was quite
attendance.
Sick. Yeah, yeah. No, so, and it's funny because they actually almost left the band. The band almost broke up over religion. And not what you think. It's not Catholic Protestant. They actually, Bono, The Edge, and Larry joined a Christian fellowship group called the Shalom, which made them question whether they could recognize and reconcile rock music with their faith. They briefly considered quitting, and then they were like,
ooh, imagine if they did Christian music. That
oh,
would
they
be
would,
fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to send them some suggestions.
Oh, are you? Okay.
I don't think they care. But.
I don't think they care either. But anyway, so, and then there's always this controversy about Bono and why he wears sunglasses.
Yeah, why does he?
He has glaucoma.
Okay.
So,
and he's got a good reason.
Yes. Yeah, so he's light sensitive. So this has been going on since like the 90s. He's had an eye condition, and literally that's why he wears sunglasses. It's not because he wants to be cool.
He is cool.
I mean, he's
pretty cool.
Yeah. He spawns cool. So yeah, he's had this condition since the 90s, and it's been a problem for him. U2 did go into space. I don't know if you remember that. So in 2009, NASA, when a crew of NASA was up in space in 2009, they woke up to A Beautiful Day by U2.
Cool.
And the band actually had prepared a speech and everything for them and gave them this little, you know, talk as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So they got to go to space, which is kind of cool. And then they did have this flub. I don't know if you remember in 2014 where the album was actually downloaded to your phone.
I was just going to ask if that was U2.
Yeah, it was.
Like it automatically was on everyone's Apple
Songs
phone.
Of Innocence. Oh,
and nobody
man.
Liked that.
No, I didn't mind.
Well, I know, but no one wanted to buy a brand new out of the box
well, you
Apple
didn't
phone.
Buy it. Yeah, you
and
didn't
then
buy it. It was just auto.
I know. I'm saying
auto-tuned.
When you got your phone out of the box, it had that on it already.
It was crazy.
Brilliant.
So anyway, they had to actually Bono actually apologized later, saying it was a moment of megalomania.
Okay.
In all honesty, he said, like, listen, I'm sorry. We just thought this
was.
He was, and he was cool about it, and he apologized, and you could auto delete it if you wanted. Which is kind of cool, man. The last thing I'll say about them, because there's just so much. I'm going to say a few more things, maybe.
Okay.
But Bono, you talked about it being political or whatever. They've also given millions personally to global causes such as global health, AIDS relief, foundations for poverty reductions called Data, One, and Red. So these guys literally have their own money.
Yeah, I think they're good guys.
They are.
They've never gotten any.
There's never bad publicity. They're married to the same people. They're just, you know, they've had families and lives and wives and just continue on about their thing. Bono sings about his wife in some songs. I mean, it's just they've had a really good go at it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And they did do one interesting thing, and then I'll move on. I honestly will. Well, I promise. So in 2009, U2 performed on the rooftop of BBC Broadcasting in the house, BBC Broadcasting in London, England. And it was kind of a cheeky nod to the Beatles, who had actually performed there on a famous rooftop concert. So
right.
It was kind of a cool thing. But yeah.
I wonder who was bigger, the Beatles or U2?
So
you can Google that on the break.
It's funny. I'm sure the Beatles were bigger because of, you know, Beatlemania and all that around the world. But remember, they were only there for a short period of time.
Yeah, I think U2's been around longer.
45 years.
And greater distribution opportunities through now technology.
And selling music and downloading.
I'm going to go U2.
Oh, I think so. Dollars and cents for sure. But I don't know how it translates from Beatle money in the 60s, 70s to...
What's it called? Beatle money?
No. Their money that they made. Beatle money to U2 money. I mean, but they've made gazillions of money.
Right.
So anyway, this is one of my favorite songs. Again, I spent a ton of time just trying to decide which song I wanted to play, but they're so long for a lot of them, and a lot of them are just have a lot of personal feeling to me. This one is one of my favorites. It's called New Year's Day, and I just love every second of it. I hope you guys do as well.
disabilities are invisible. And it may sound strange that someone with a hearing problem volunteers on air at a community radio station. Over time, the ravages of tinnitus and Meniere's disease not only impacted my hearing, but left lots of humming and buzzing inside my head. I like communicating with our community. The station and I work together to make sure that I can take best advantage of the hearing I've got with proper equipment and a good studio environment. From the front door to the heart of the station, our volunteers have full access. Accessibility. It's yet another way that community radio brings out the best in us. Hashtag accessible radio.
Hashtag, I like that commercial.
That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Don't speak in hashtags.
I won't.
Your children will kill you if you do that.
Yeah. All right. So we should probably give our weekend update. Mine's going to be pretty...
It's different.
It is different.
We have a little announcement.
Yeah, so tomorrow night, I am not at the Lofanale. I am in my backyard, just hanging out, and we're taking a summer break. We're going to take the month of August off and recoup and kind of...
Just recharge.
Yeah, I've got a lot of weddings coming up in August, so a lot of Saturdays out on the road, and it's just... You know, you're going out Saturday and you're playing all day and all night and getting home at like 4 and 5 in the morning. So, you know, doing two nights just as back to back is killer.
Well, we also have a boat and a trailer that we don't use very often. And if you're going to work all weekend because you DJ Friday night, DJ Saturday night, throw in an open house and you're usually with me for those. We're never at the trailer.
Yeah, and we're going to get there this summer.
And we want to be at the trailer, and we work really, really hard, so we deserve just a month to have a little downtime. So there'll be less DJing and less open houses.
Well, which is funny, you say that, but let me just tell you, Saturday I'm DJing.
But at the camp
park. At the campground. So if anybody's so interested in kicking around and they want to come to Singleton Lake, you pay an entrance fee, it's $10, and you can watch me DJ. I'm going to do a little music trivia. I'm going to have the same fun time on Saturday night that I would have on Friday night, but I'm doing it up at my campground.
It's so really fun. And isn't it like partly a family friendly and then partly an adult party?
Yeah, so I'm doing 6 to 9 for the kids, and I'm going to have, you know, fog and lights and just DJing and having playing some fun kids music. And then at 9 o'clock, from 9 to 11, I'm going to do a little bit of music trivia, maybe one or two rounds, and kicking it off with a little bit of a dance.
Give them a little teaser.
Yeah. And then hopefully they have me back to do some more. But yeah, that's me. And then Sunday, we're going to hang out. We're going to barbecue. We're going to get on the boat. We're going to whip around a little bit and have a good time. And then Monday, I'm hoping we get home early Monday so I can get in my pool, swim, and because it's meant to be really gorgeous Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, just enjoy the weekend. So we're going to do a little of this and a little of that. So a little column A and a little column B. I don't have anything currently booked real estate related. However, I am always open to something. We actually happen to be also only 10 minutes away from a lakeside home that I currently have on the market. So it would be super convenient if anybody wanted to see 912 Moonlight Lane on Killenbeck Lake this weekend.
But if you
because I'm literally 11 minutes away from there.
But if you could give us 35 minutes, we could bring it. We could go by boat.
That would be fun.
We'll meet you.
And then we'll take you on a boat
dock.
Tour. Yeah. That would be super fun.
It would be a lot of fun. So, yeah, so that's us for this weekend. And then, like I said, next weekend. So, just so you know, people that play with us on our trivia, so stage one, stay tuned. We are going to do a thank you event.
I thought we was trying to think about the word, isn't really client, but it's like patron or something like
just
that.
Thank you to my supporters and everybody
family.
That comes out. So, I've been texting and emailing and kind of putting it out there, but in the next couple of weeks we'll announce it, we'll send it out. It won't be open to everybody, but we're gonna have a party at the house. We're gonna have
to say thank you. We have to rent a porta potty.
Well, we're renting some washrooms and stuff outside because we don't want 100 people traipsing through our house
or on our septic system.
Yeah, so we're gonna do that, and we're gonna have, you're invited to bring your family and your friends, and we're gonna barbecue and just have a pool party. I'm gonna play some tunes.
Yes, but by invitation only.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a good time. There'll be, you know, we got lots of space. We'll play some games and just have a really fun time.
Yes,
so
it will be very fun.
Yeah,
but we don't have a date for that yet.
No,
so
we don't.
Keep everybody posted.
But speaking of that, here is one of my favorite bands that you're going to play that plays summer music.
Oh, okay. Well, What did I pick?
This is the key to Bala for me.
Yes, I picked Kim Mitchell because now in my head, I did the 70s and I was trying to progress to the 80s and I was thinking about kind of those first feelings of, wow, I'm old enough to like go out in a car with some friends. And we went to a couple of, like, I actually did go to the Kitabala, but also like I went to a couple of, what do you call it? Like car races, like motorsport car races or something.
Drag racing?
Maybe.
Or was it drag racing around a track?
Around a circle.
So on a circle. So you went to a speedway.
Is that place called Cayuga?
Yeah, there is Cayuga.
So I did that.
There's lots of places. There's Toronto Motorsports Park. There's Cayuga. There's the one out here.
Yeah. It was just kind of conjures up those summer memories. But for me, also like the first memories of like, huh, I'm a person now and I get to go out and I get to have my own experiences. And I really liked that feeling. I'm just thinking about like some people that I hung around with when I was probably like in grade 9, 10, and 11. And one of my friends was dating a boy who was older than us and he had a car. And it was very cool. They used to always say like, oh, let's go out for a pop. And I wasn't 100% sure back then what if they were really meant a pop or if they were using that as a cover for something else, like a beer is sometimes called a pop or something like that. But
yeah, wobbly pop.
After I got to know them better, I think they really meant a pop or a soda, which is the segue.
Yeah, so it's funny. This song reminds me again of the CNE exhibition. There was a ride there and it played loud music.
Oh, the
and
one
it
went, that screamed. And then you went backwards?
Yeah. And I don't know what it was called, but it was like in a circle.
It was like a Snowball Express.
It was a snowball. Was it called the Snowball Express?
So, yeah.
I'm going to look it up during the break. It was a crazy thing and it played rock. It played Aussie. It played everything.
Speaking of rides that play rock, there is nothing better than the Rock and Roll Roller Coaster in Hollywood Studios
in Disney.
Florida.
Yeah.
I knew we have some funny stories about but that's what Aerosmith means to me. But the interesting thing, we're going to play it, but it's one thing that I really love about this is, and I didn't know until today when I was doing some research, but this became an anti-drunk driving theme song. So Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which is a fantastic cause because no one should drunk drive, decided to pick up May As Well Go For A Soda as their theme song. And I 100% support that. And I support Kim Mitchell. And this is definitely classically Canadian. So let's go ahead and have some fun because we're coming into a long weekend and we're all going to go for a soda.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I can just hear, thank you, Kitabella.
Yeah, and that is a great way to roll into a long weekend. However, we have a better way to roll into a long weekend.
I was just up there, actually, as you know.
You have a silly story
about it. We do not have time for it. No, we don't. So here's what I'm going to say, guys, is I have some songs. Sherry has some songs we didn't get to, but I really want to finish with this because Sherry made a great point. We always finished high school dances with this song and everything. And
roller skating,
everything. So next week, we're going to come back. We're going to play some New Order, Johnny Cash, Depeche Mode, The Commodores, and Erasure. And we're going to talk about them. Those are going to be our key songs for next week. But we are going to finish out with Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven because, again, this was everything about everything.
Okay, and give me three memories of Stairway to Heaven. Go, because you only have 30 seconds.
Zodiac One Roller Rink always ended off with this song. It was probably played at every high school dance I ever DJed in the 80s. And I do not have a single of this song. And it's funny, I just found out with reading the notes, it was never commercially released as a single. It forced you to buy Led Zeppelin 4. The whole album to get this song.
Also,
it was a
brilliant
huge
marketing strategy.
Oh, massive.
The reason I picked it literally is pretty much the same thing. It is the end of every high school dance memory that I have, the end of every roller skating night, and it was a great way to kiss the boys.
Yeah, it was so much.
So we're going to play the whole 8 minutes and say everybody have a safe, happy weekend. And
yeah, guys, I hope to see you all next week and hear from you. Be safe and stay frosty. Listening to the intro here, one of the guys that plays trivia with us just sent me a message, and it said the Kingston Fair ride that went backwards was called the Music Express, and that was back in the 80s. Anyway, guys, we'll see you next week.
All that glitters is gold, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed. With a word she can get what she came for. Ooh, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure. Cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misgiven.
don't belong there. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. You don't know.